Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Imagine for a moment that we have brilliant scientists, cutting-edge technology, and a deep understanding of cancer biology. Yet progress in finding cures is still slowed down, not by a lack of innovation, but by something really fundamental, like data sharing. What if the crucial need to protect patient privacy inadvertently creates a bottleneck for developing the very tools that could save lives? Today, we're taking a deep dive into an incredibly innovative solution designed to, dismantle that barrier.
Yeah, it's truly one of the biggest paradoxes in precision medicine, isn't it? On one hand, we absolutely need vast, diverse genomic data sets. We need them to train and rigorously test the sophisticated algorithms that analyze cancer. But on the other hand, we have this undeniable ethical responsibility to protect the incredibly sensitive personal information of real cancer patients. This particular work, it really tackles that tension head on.
And what if the answer to this complex problem lies in something, entirely new? What if we could generate realistic cancer genomes that are completely synthetic, born from AI, not patients? And they're virtually indistinguishable from real data, yet carry absolutely zero privacy concerns. Think of the possibilities this opens up for accelerating precision oncology, democratizing access to crucial data. It's kind of mind-blowing. So today, we really want to shine a light on the transformative work of a remarkable team. This was spearheaded by Ender Dasavaro and Lincoln Stein, with contributions from the Ontario Institute for Cancer Research, the University of Toronto, and other leading institutions. Their efforts are truly advancing our understanding of cancer genomics and really paving the way for more robust tool development.
Definitely. To truly make strides in precision oncology, understanding how genomic alterations drive cancer is just foundational. We've seen massive collaborative projects like the International Cancer Genome Consortium, ICGC, and the Cancer Genome Atlas, TCGA, cataloging these complex changes across thousands and thousands of tumors. But the ability to precisely identify and interpret these alterations relies so heavily on the accuracy and reliability of our computational tools.
That's the real crux of it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The algorithms are getting incredibly sophisticated, maybe even outpacing our ability to test them properly. How do we rigorously test them to make sure they're accurate and robust across the huge spectrum of cancer? We don't have an easily accessible gold standard set of cancer genomes with all known mutations mapped out. And the few real patient genomes that do exist are, quite rightly, deeply guarded due to strict privacy regulations.
Exactly. And the current benchmarking methods, they often fall short. Using cancer cell lines, for example, or taking normal genomes and sort of spiking in artificial mutations, it just doesn't capture the full, messy, and incredibly diverse reality of actual patient tumors. These tumors vary so much, not just by tissue of origin, but by treatment history, individual patient genetics, even environmental exposures. This inherent scarcity of realistic, accessible data severely hampers progress in developing and validating new algorithms. It's a real bottleneck.
Okay, so given this monumental challenge, how are researchers thinking about breaking through this data barrier? Is there a new approach, maybe something that leverages the incredible advancements we've seen in artificial intelligence?
Absolutely. And this is where recent breakthroughs in deep learning, particularly generative adversarial networks, or GANs, and variational autoencoders, VAEs, offer a powerful new avenue. The core idea is that AI could potentially learn the intricate patterns of real cancer genomes and then create entirely new synthetic ones.
Wow. That sounds almost like a form of digital alchemy, generating something so complex. How does that actually work in practice?
This is precisely where Oncodan comes in. It's a groundbreaking pipeline that combines these powerful AI techniques. You can actually think of it like a master artist and a really critical art critic collaborating. The artist, or the generator part, creates synthetic data. And the critic, the discriminator, tries its best to tell if it's real patient data or if it's fake synthetic data.
Ah, so it's this adversarial process, this kind of back and forth.
Exactly. It drives the generator to continuously improve, learning to produce increasingly realistic cancer genomes until the critic just can't tell the difference anymore. It can't distinguish the synthetic from the real.
So it's not just generating random patterns.
Yeah.
It's actually learning the underlying rules of cancer genomics.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. What kind of features does Oncogen actually model to achieve this level of realism? It must be incredibly complex.
Oh, it is. They trained OntoGAN on massive, uniformly analyzed data sets, most notably the pan-cancer analysis of whole genomes, or PCAWG. Just that data set alone provides data from over 2,600 cancer genomes across 8 distinct tumor types, so a lot of input data. And the pipeline is designed to model a wide array of cancer features really comprehensively. This includes not just the number and specific types of mutations like SNPs, those single base changes, but also DNPs, TMPs, insertions, deletions, the whole range, and importantly, how crucial driver mutations interact, whether they tend to occur together or are mutually exclusive in certain cancers.
That's already a huge amount of detail. Does it also model the context of these mutations, like where they occur?
It absolutely does. It delves into mutation characteristics like mutational signature context, those telltale patterns, their exact genomic positions, and variant allele frequencies, or VAS, which tell you about the proportion of cells with the mutation. And critically, it models large-scale genomic changes, things like copy number alterations, CNAs, and structural variants, SVs. These are essential for understanding tumor evolution and heterogeneity.
It's fascinating how they break down this immense complexity. You mentioned GNANs and VAEs. Why not just use one big AI model? Why the different tools?
That's a great question. It comes down to the fact that different genomic features have really distinct data structures and statistical properties. For instance, single nucleotide variants, those small point mutations, they behave very differently mathematically than large structural rearrangements that might affect whole chromosome arms. So to accurately capture these nuances, they use specific AI models tailored to the task. They use ctabGAN Plus for most features, but a combination of ctGAN and tVAE for the highly precise job of pinpointing exact genomic positions. These specialized models are just much better equipped to learn the unique grammar of each feature type, you could say.
That makes perfect sense, tailoring the tool to the job.
Yeah.
So could you walk us through the pipeline? How does it actually construct a synthetic cancer genome, step by step?
Sure. It's a carefully orchestrated process. It doesn't just happen all at once. The pipeline begins by generating the overall donor characteristics, like the total number of mutations. Then it assigns sex, and then it meticulously simulates the driver mutations. These are drawn from a known tumor type-specific list, and it makes sure their realistic intercorrelations, how they relate to each other, are maintained. After the drivers are placed, the passenger mutations and their genomic positions are generated. And they have a clever mechanism to align the trinucleotide context to positions without compromising privacy. It searches a 100 nucleotide window around a predicted position. This results in an incredibly low duplication rate of real mutations, only about 0.021%.
Wow, 0.021%. That's tiny. Far less than you'd expect just from natural variation between individuals.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop at point mutations, which are relatively small changes. OncoGAN also generates realistic CNA and SV profiles. That includes deletions, duplications, inversions, translocations, these major chromosomal rearrangements. And it does all this based on the existing copy number status simulated earlier in the pipeline.
So it's building this complex picture layer by layer. Truly comprehensive.
Precisely. It builds a really comprehensive picture of a cancer genome, reflecting both the subtle point mutations and the profound large-scale alterations. This ability to capture those big structural changes with high fidelity is really what helps set it apart.
Okay, so the methodology sounds incredibly robust, very well thought out. But the real test, of course, is in the findings. How well does this synthetic data actually stack up against real patient genomes? Did it work?
Yeah, the validation results were indeed quite impressive. They really demonstrated OncoGAN's ability to mirror the incredible heterogeneity you see in real tumors. For instance, when they compared scatter and density plots of various mutation types, say, in breast adenocarcinoma, breast adenoca, they found a striking similarity. The plots just looked right.
And looking at the broader picture, like the relationships among different tumor types in terms of total mutation counts.
Almost identical between the real and the synthetic data. They calculated a Pearson correlation of 0.966.
0.966. That's a remarkably strong match, isn't it? It suggests it's really capturing the overall landscape of cancer genomics across different types.
It really is. And donor variant allele frequencies, the VAFs, also showed high concordance. And importantly, they showed how OncoGAN can generate CNA-driven VAFs. That means it simulates mutations whose frequencies are shaped by underlying copy number changes gaining or losing chromosome regions. This is a critical detail for generating realistic sequencing files because CNAs significantly impact VAF distribution.
Right, that interaction is key. Now, what's truly fascinating, I think, is how it handles driver mutations. You said it randomly generates passenger mutations, but does it get the important driver mutations right?
It does, remarkably well. Even though passengers are random, it accurately replicates the frequency and the interrelationships of the key driver mutations. They used a well-established tool, Active Driver WGS, to check this. It detected 87% of coding driver genes in the synthetic data. That's only slightly less than the 89% found in the real PCIDG data it was trained on.
That's incredibly close. It's a powerful validation, showing it captures the biologically relevant signals, not just noise.
And the tissue-specific mutational patterns are also accurately replicated, which is vital for making the data useful. For example, in lymph CLL, which is a type of leukemia, OnCoGAN reproduced the specific mutational peaks associated with immunoglobulin genes. That shows how well it captures the genomic distribution patterns unique to that specific cancer type.
And they use visualization tools too, right? Like TSNE?
Yes, they use TSNE, which is great for visualizing complex, high-dimensional data. It showed that the synthetic donors cluster in the same way as real donors. You could clearly distinguish different tumor types based just on their genomic mutation patterns in the synthetic data, just like in the real data.
It's like seeing the synthetic data fall perfectly into place with the real thing on the map. Really convincing.
And then there are mutational signatures, those distinct patterns of mutations linked to specific biological mechanisms like smoking or UV exposure. They used SIG Profiler Extractor, a standard tool in the field, and it identified highly similar signature profiles in OnCoGAN's synthetic genomes. It captured the variability seen across real patients too. They found almost all the expected signatures across 6 of the 8 tumor types they tested. Only a few very low frequency signatures were missed, likely just due to their rarity in the original training data.
So it's not just the big picture, but the fine details too, like indel lengths, mutation consequences.
Yes, things like indel length distributions and the proportions of different mutation consequences, like missense mutations versus nonsense or silent mutations, also closely mirror those in the real data.
This comprehensive fidelity across so many features is what makes this synthetic data so potentially powerful, right?
Absolutely. And maybe one of the most impactful findings is that OnCoGAN's data can actually improve existing algorithms. They took a tool called Deep Tumor, which predicts the tissue of origin based on a tumor's mutation profile. And they found that training it with a combined dataset reel plus OnCoGAN's synthetic genomes improved the overall accuracy by 0.9%.
Okay, 0.9% overall might not sound huge, but was it more significant in specific areas?
Yes, exactly. The biggest gains were seen in tumor types that had fewer real donors to begin with. For instance, lymphem CLL, mantle cell lymphoma, the F1 score, a measure of accuracy jumped significantly from 75% to 84% when synthetic data was added.
Wow, 75 to 84, that's a big jump.
It really is, and it vividly demonstrates OnCoGAN's incredible potential for augmenting datasets for rare cancers. That's a field where data scarcity is just a chronic, persistent problem.
That's a massive potential benefit for conditions where getting enough real data has always been a struggle.
Definitely. And just to round it out, OnCoGAN also simulates the complex copy number alterations and structural variants with high fidelity. It achieves strong concordance in measures like chromosomal instability scores, and it's designed for integration. It's compatible with other tools like InSilicoSec and BAMSurgeon, which means researchers can generate full synthetic sequencing files, like BAM files, for even more advanced benchmarking of analysis pipelines.
And crucially for the entire research community, this isn't just a theoretical breakthrough described in a paper, right? It's a tangible resource they can use now.
Indeed. And this is a huge contribution, a real gift to the community. They've made 800 simulated cancer genome VCFs, plus the matched CNA and SV files publicly available. You can find them on Hugging Face and Zenodo, completely free of distribution restrictions, no hoops to jump through.
That is a monumental step towards democratizing access to high-quality genomic data. Fantastic. Okay, putting these groundbreaking findings into perspective, what's the broader impact of OnCoGAN on the landscape of cancer research? How does this change things?
Well, OnCoGAN represents a truly significant advancement, no question. It offers a powerful and critically privacy-preserving solution to that long-standing problem of data accessibility in genomics. That challenge has, historically, really slowed progress down. Its capacity to generate realistic, shareable data could fundamentally change how research teams engage with cancer research. especially teams perhaps without access to massive institutional data sets. It could genuinely democratize access to this kind of data.
Yeah, it aligns beautifully with all the broader initiatives aimed at ethical data sharing, doesn't it? But OncoGAN adds that crucial layer of creating truly synthetic data, data that can be openly shared without any risk to patient confidentiality. It feels like a real breakthrough in balancing privacy with the need for rapid scientific collaboration.
And the ability to augment training data sets, especially for those rare tumor types we talked about, is a potential game changer for machine learning in cancer genomics. It means more robust, more accurate algorithms can be developed and refined, which should accelerate progress across the board. You know, the true brilliance here isn't just generating data points, but demonstrating that AI can learn the actual grammar of cancer genomics, not just memorize vocabulary. That fundamentally changes how we might approach understanding disease complexity in the future.
And critically, as you said, OncoGAN isn't just generating random mutations. It's simulating realistic mutational and copy number profiles that are specific to different tumor types. That biological nuance is what really sets it apart from maybe simpler simulation tools. It understands context.
Absolutely. Now, while it's a monumental step, there are always areas for growth. Of course, limitations exist. The current version can't yet simulate really complex subclonal reconstructions, how different cell populations evolve within a tumor, or those really chaotic whole cell events like chromothripsis, where chromosomes just shatter and reform. But the roadmap includes expanding to even more tumor types and more complex characteristics, so it's intended to be a living, evolving resource for the research community.
So to kind of distill this all down, the take-home message is...
OncoGAN stands as a really monumental leap forward in generating realistic, privacy-preserving synthetic cancer genomes. It's poised to accelerate algorithm development and benchmarking across the globe.
And it provides an invaluable, openly accessible resource for researchers, especially boosting work on rare cancers.
Exactly. Paving the way for more accurate diagnostics and ultimately, hopefully, more effective precision oncology solutions for everyone.
It makes you think. OncoGAN delivers incredibly realistic synthetic cancer genomes today, based on what we already know. But what happens when AI can not only create data based on the past, but maybe design hypothetical mutations or genomic structures that don't yet exist in nature? Could we use it to explore entirely new therapeutic vulnerabilities or resistance mechanisms before we even see them in patients? The line between data generation and discovery might just blur even further. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.